The thing is, as follows, this may be idiosyncratic, so I'm not sure it's helpful to anybody else, but birthdays, certainly over the last, I don't know, probably 18 years or since I turned 50, have been very challenging for me, in large measure because I think that what I was doing was comparing myself as I found myself at that time with what I had thought I would be when I was many years younger, what I would be when I would reach that age, and it didn't measure up. And that particular aspect certainly continues to follow me through time. And it probably gets a good deal worse with every passing year. On the other hand, there are several things that are also happening, which are probably more constructive. Number one is that it is gradually forcing me to let go of some of the parts of those early pictures which are not realistic. However sad that may be, but one of the things that I think complicates people's lives are these unrealistic expectations of self, which keep on getting in the way of our being able to focus on the things that we are supposed to be able to do or do reasonably well. It's a little bit like a response that great sculptor it was, whether it was Michelangelo, but it's been one of the greats who was asked how they do what they do in making these magnificent sculptures. And he said, well, I look at this block of whatever it is, granite or whatever stone he was working with, he says, and I see something and I chop away everything that doesn't belong to what I see, and then this thing emerges. So the sculpture is the ability to see something in something where no such image exists, and then gradually working with that until you bring out what you see by removing everything which is extrinsic to that image. And in a certain sense, that's what our lives are. Our lives need to be the kind of thing where there are certainly many, many abilities and many things that we have, but we need to focus on where our real contribution needs to be, and then remove the impediments of these many other things that sort of clamor for our attention, because in not being able to remove those things which are extrinsic to what we really need to become, we can't bring out what we need to become. So with time, as I've come to be slowly more and more realistic, I'm beginning to let go of some of those other expectations which are both a distraction and an impediment and a source of disappointment, because as long as I maintain those things as things that I need to be, the ongoing disappointment that I'm not becoming that have become a source of sadness. This is not a sudden drop off a precipice. This is this gradual recognition that this is not realistic and that I have to make choices. Another feature of this aging process is something which happens to me on many occasions when I know that I have to do something, and no matter how much I try to prepare for whatever that is, that somehow it just doesn't crystallize. But the closer I get to the time or the occasion where I need to produce, there's something about the adrenaline, there's something about the urgency of this thing which is now rushing up to greet me, which somehow, whether it forces a deeper focus and attention or whatever it is, it's that urgency that brings out the answers that I need to meet that particular occasion. It happens to me every Shabbos, actually, and before I get up to speak. No, that's not a recent thing, but I'm just saying that it's... That very same phenomenon also happens to me with these birthdays, because what happens is that there's a greater urgency that kind of forces itself upon me to do the things that I know I got to do. And it requires me to be clearer, to be more active in trying to finish up these things that are important to me. So the birthdays are fairly serious times for me because of those reasons. Awesome. The thing that I repeat all the time, such a great story, about somebody who came in to his studio a friend of his, and he hadn't been there in some months, so he asked Michelangelo to show him what progress he had made on a particular piece of work that he was involved with. So Michelangelo took him over and began to show him all the changes that he had made in the last several months. So after he had showed him a fair number of those modifications, the fellow said to him, "But those are all trifles." So Michelangelo said to him, "It's true, those are all trifles, but out of all of those trifles comes excellence, and excellence is no trifle." So there are sometimes the adjustments that we make when we do something, and even though they're not dramatic, but because we're attending to the details of it, it's that attention to the detail which really makes the difference between something ordinary and something that has real quality. And so that out of the trifles in our lives, and it can be tiny little things, you know, it can be in a relationship, just paying attention to a small detail, just saying a word, which may not mean a whole lot when you examine it onto itself, but in the bigger picture, sometimes a word at the right time, it's a trifle, but it does a lot for a person, and it does a lot for the relationship. So out of trifles, I think that everybody needs to ask themselves at a given time, when they're thinking about whether they should or shouldn't do something, they should really kind of ask themselves. Because we prepare it, say, it's not really, I don't really have to do it. Sometimes it's just saying thank you or saying I appreciate something. At some point, I don't really have to go back upstairs to do that. But it's out of those moments of consideration or recognition and acknowledgement. It's a trifle. There's a certain quality that comes out, and that quality is not a trifle. Let me tell you, one of the things that we need to do from time to time is do a reality check, to make sure that our images are not pretentious or unrealistic. It may be a good image, it's just not our image, not for us. I once commented, there's a pasuk, I think the Parshas Kedoshim says, so the pasuk says, Al tifnu el ha'elilim, do not turn to the idols. Eliel, Rashi says that the word elilim comes from elilim loshen al, not. It's considered as though it were not. Eliel has the word al in it, meaning don't, not. Elilim is considered as though it weren't. So don't turn to something which is not. Don't turn to idols. And molten images, gods, molten gods, do not make for yourselves. So, first of all, it's redundant. Elohim Asecha, molten gods, that's an Elil. So, why? And if there is a difference between an Elil and Masecha, but you could all include it in one thing, just say, Al Tivno El Elilim, Elohim Asecha. Why? Two phrases, two sentences. Don't turn to the Elilim. And gods, molten gods, do not make for yourself. Don't make for yourself Elilim and molten images. I mean, you could have been much more concise. So I said that there are two problems that we encounter when we set our sights on a personal striving, on a personal image that we have. One is that there are people who would discourage us from becoming what we could become. You're not really, you can't do that. You're not capable of that. You know, the ones who kind of drain us from our excitement about wanting to become something. And sometimes they do it out of jealousy and envy, and sometimes they do it maliciously to discourage us from trying to become something of quality. And sometimes they just don't see it. It may not be malicious, they don't see it. But that kind of company, negative company, is not good. The other problem is not with other people, with ourselves, is that we'll make a goal for ourselves and we'll begin to work on it. And we have a right to do that because sometimes until we begin to work on a goal, we don't know whether it's too much or too little, or whether it fits, it doesn't fit. So we have certain aspirations and we have certain goals or images that we try to meet, certain expectations we try to meet. And it's important that we revisit that, because if we don't make the necessary adjustments, we may be either cheating ourselves out of what we could become by shooting too low, or we may be punishing ourselves with frustration and disappointment by shooting too high. If we don't revisit it, then we're in a very dangerous place. Dangerous because in one case we're suppressing what we could become, and in the other case because we are building despair and resentment and anger into our lives by constantly holding ourselves to something that we can't do. So I thought that maybe that one could see that in the pasuk. Elilim are the people who are always saying, "Al, don't do that. Lo," that's what's in the word elilim. "Nah, don't do that. You can't do it." Al tifnu elilim. Don't turn to the naysayers in your life. Don't surround yourself with negative people who are constantly telling you you can't, and you don't know how, and you're not gonna, you won't be successful, you'll be a failure. Don't turn to those people. Then there's another thing. What is there about a masecha man? Masecha is a molten thing, which is to say the following, that we make goals for ourselves. We take the stuff of our lives, right? We melt it down into what we believe is an image that we have to strive towards. So it's very important that it remains something which we can melt down again, either to make it bigger, make it smaller, to adjust it. But if we turn that which should be in a constant state of being subjected again to the kiln and melted down again so that we can make it, if we turn it into a rigid god, if we take the masecha, which should be a masecha, and we turn it into a god that can't be revisited, it'll be something that will, in one way or another, cheat us out of something. So the pasuk tells you, Al tivno lelo elilim v'lehem masecha, and to take masecha and turn it into a godly sasal, don't do that.